I invite you to have a seat. Unless you are a child or a parent, grandparent, friend of a child, we welcome you to come forward for the children's time. Bring someone up here with you if you can. It'll help out a little bit. And I have just a little different instruction as we start. So I'm going to need you guys to sit apart from each other. So don't sit right beside each other. Spread out a little bit. If you've got a parent coming with you, you can kind of sit beside them. That'd be awesome too. So I need to hand you guys ones of these. Another, can you grab that? Can you guys open these on your own? You need to get them open for me, please. It's going to be a good day for us here. Hey, how are you today? Good morning. Lana, good to see you today, too. Olivia, give you one of these. You can open that, please. You guys all get these open. Thank you, Nicholas. Emmy, good to see you. There you go. All right. So now this is going to be super easy and simple for us. I gave you all Ziploc bags. Everybody has a bag, right? And yeah, you guys can spell pretty well, right? What do we have in here? Is this a good thing?
Yeah.
None of you are allergic to M&Ms, right? All right, we're about to find out. So I need you to hold your bag open for me. Right? There we go. Couple in there, couple in there, couple over there. Right, a little bit in there. Great, Lana, you got some for me? There we go. And some over there and there. Nicely done. There we go. And a little bit over there too, right? All right, so how'd that go? You guys all got some? Oh, do we need some more over here? See, I'm pulling more kids up. This is awesome. Any of you could have come forward. I don't know why you stay back there so much. There we go. This is great. Here we go. More M&Ms there. Excuse me. And right over here. This is awesome. This is great. I love this. Nico, here you go. You open yours up. There we go. Portia over here a little bit for you. Right? Oh my gosh. I'm going to need some help. This is perfect. I need an usher to help me. Hang on, Nicholas. Just hang on for a second. I have so much going on up here. So many people need there. Here, Steve. All right. Who has one? Over here? Bag for you. Portia, did you get a bag?
Yeah.
All right, you got some in there? Yeah? Kari gets hers bag. There we go. All right, so I think we got some M&Ms, and I think we're doing okay, right?
No, right here.
Oh.
Sorry.
There we go.
Here.
Now we're good. Oh.
I need some.
So you 8 years. That's why you don't have any. Nice move, McMurray. I got that one down. So apparently, as I spread the M&Ms, some kids got some and some have bags that don't have M&Ms in there. But the good news is I still have a lot in my bag, right? I got a ton of M&Ms in here. So let me see if I can fix this, okay? Here, you ready? Open it up some more. Right? Here, open it up. And you ate yours too. Nicely done. Dun dun dun. Dun dun dun.
I need to tell you something.
You need to tell me something?
Yeah, I just did a lot of things there. You're not really supposed to have candy.
Well, it's okay. We can have some candy right now. So. You guys are eating them all up.
I offered you can have mine.
That is awesome, Nika. We'll get to that in just a moment. Kari? And then, you want to open yours up again, Noah? I got a little bit more I got to get rid of here. All right, so now, hang on. Just leave them, guys. Leave them, please. Hey, Nico, leave them. I know it's so desperately hard to leave M&Ms. Nope. Seriously, leave them on the floor. Nope, 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 no piles. Leave them on the floor. So guys, I have no more M&Ms in here. But we have a little bit of a problem because there's still some kids that haven't gotten any. Right? So I want you to think about something besides M&Ms, Nico. Okay? So I want you to think about those being churches inside your bags. Because there's a whole lot of different countries all over the world. And some countries have a lot of churches. And some of them don't have any churches. And how would we get churches to places that don't have churches? Or how would we get Jesus somewhere that doesn't have Jesus? How would we do that? Axel doesn't have any, right? Right? Nicholas doesn't have any? How in the world would we get M&Ms to them if they don't have any? Because I don't have any more, right? I'm fresh out. I love you guys a lot. And I want you to get M&Ms, but I don't have any more to give. How in the world would we get M&Ms to them? What do you guys think? Noah? Well, if you think so, then do it. Right? How would you get them spread around? Nicholas, what do you think?
Split them.
Sorry. Well, if they were churches, I don't really know.
You don't really know, but you'd like some M&Ms, right? Yeah? No, but this is all I got. If they're going to have M&Ms now... Oh, yeah.
Where's your hand?
You give them your hearts? But they want real M&Ms. They just want heart M&Ms. Nico, what do you think?
Share them?
Yeah.
Because she don't have any. I needed that pile you had. This pile for her.
That's good. I love that, Nico. Can you guys find the kids that don't have any, and can you give them some of yours?
I
know you did, and it was your brother that needed them too, man. Can you guys share? Like, you came and didn't have any M&Ms, and now you have some.
Wow, Aiden, how nice.
Aiden, that's awesome, man, because he already got some and you're sharing. I love that. All right. So guys, that is exactly what we need to do with all these countries that don't have any Jesus too. Right? Like Noah had the most. I poured the rest of mine in there and he is being super generous. And Nico was too. So you guys pray with me? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for M&Ms and that we found a way that all of us could get them because we shared. And we know that it wasn't fair, God, for some kids to get M&Ms and others not. But we know that Jesus is even more important than M&Ms. And we know that in our world today, there's kids that don't have Jesus at all, and we have tons of him. And so we pray that we would be just as eager to share Jesus as we would to share our M&Ms. And we pray that in your name. Amen. Thanks for coming up, you guys. You can take those back to your seats and enjoy, or... children's time in the back. If you guys have a red ticket, you can head on back there and take your M&Ms with you. They will enjoy that too. So we have an opportunity to kind of think about this whole experience with the kids and M&Ms at a much bigger level and kind of see how the church is doing on this responsibility. I have a couple cars up here. Did somebody leave those for me? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know where they, we'll figure it out. Dale, can I give you the cars? And then Dale? Dale, can I give these to you? They belong to one of the kids. I don't know. We'll figure that out. So we have two guys from Frontiers. They've been kind of committing their lives to helping all those people that have Ziploc bags and no M&Ms to find some of those M&Ms of Jesus. So they're going to share a little bit about that out of their experience and what God has taught them about that. So Troy and Tim are going to share with us. Troy's going to start off. And thank you guys for being here.
Oh, maybe that's the car. That's the car owner.
Those are the cars.
Those are the cars. Those are the cars. My name is Troy. It's an honor to be here with you today. I've had the privilege of getting some time with Pete, and as I shared in the first service. Every time I'm with him, I enjoy being with him more. He was wearing this morning, what are they called? Not a keychain.
Lanyard.
A lanyard with FC Barcelona, Football Club Barcelona. I'm a huge soccer fan, so he just won me over even more. And then, after we shared, he goes on to inspire my socks off with what you guys are going to hear as well this morning. We're going to start with a video, and before we watch, I want you to, as best as you can, to try to posture your heart in a way that you can receive the message, the statistics, the faces that you're seeing. You all know we live in a world and day and age where we're inundated with media and images and statistics. So, Father, may what we see move us. Okay? Let's get it going.
The job is not done in the world that Christ gave us to do, and the mandate is still binding on us today. That's why we speak of unreached people groups. But the missions is the back-breaking, culture-penetrating, darkness-shattering initial work to penetrate, plant the church, see it flourish, get its own elders, train its own people, evangelize its own networks. That's the task of missions. It's not over. And that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And the alternative is hell. And millions and millions and millions of people are on their way there. And we have the only means of escape in our heads and in our hearts. Jesus Christ.
There are many prodigal sons.
I don't know how many times I've seen that clip, but I'm still moved. I so appreciate what Pete shared during the family message this morning. And first service, two of the children that weren't receiving the M&Ms were these two young girls. And as a father of three young sons, I was kind of watching them, and they were like, they're almost to the point of kind of tearing up, like, you're forgetting me. You're forgetting me. And just for an analogy, watching this play itself out as a father longing for these girls to have the gift, how much more the Heavenly Father. How much more the Heavenly Father longs to see those that have empty bags and empty hearts receive the gift of salvation. Each of us are disciples of Jesus and seeking to be so. As a disciple, that means that we follow Jesus, that we go where he goes, that we do what he does, that we long after and love what God loves. As you saw in some of these statistics, 97 of 100 missionaries that are currently being sent are being sent into already reached people groups. This has to shake us. On the flip side, that means that only 3 of every 100 being sent out are being sent to the unengaged and unreached billions of people in the world. To kind of just put that in perspective, would you stand for just a second? About 1 person reaches out, 1 missionary for every Muslim, for every million Muslims. What's your name? William. So this is William, who is now responsible to reach out to all of Portland. Thanks, William. And good luck. Jesus tells his disciples this parable, which is told to us as well. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep, and one of them wanders off. Doesn't the shepherd leave the 99 out in open country to go and search for that lost sheep? And when he finds him, puts him on his shoulders, returns home and calls his neighbors and friends to celebrate, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." If this parable tells us anything, anything about the heart of God, that he would leave the 99 to go after that 1% that are outside of his fold, then surely, surely to follow Jesus, to love what he loves, to go where he goes, would mean that we go after the millions upon millions that have never heard the gospel. In 2005, I was in Tajikistan playing against Tajikistan's national team and Afghanistan's national team. And before one of the matches, I'm standing at center of the field as the announcer is kind of going through the starting lineups in a language that at the time I didn't understand. And so we're just standing there before kickoff, and all of a sudden, I just start weeping. And I remember the Holy Spirit reminding me of the words of Jesus where he says to his disciples, "You know, you guys always say like, 4 more months, and then the harvest. I'm telling you, open your eyes, look around. Look around. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ripe." And it was seeing the faces of tens of thousands of Tajiks that then moved my wife and 3 boys to live in Tajikistan for the last 4 years. Brothers and sisters, the Great Commission given to us by our Savior Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations, of all people groups, isn't some nice suggestion. It wasn't something that Jesus invited a few into and said, "The rest of you guys, do what you want to do. These are the missionary people." No, this was a commission that was given to us all. So I challenge us, being a disciple is not a matter of whether or not each of us have a role in the Great Commission and seeing the ends of the earth come to know his glory, but it's jumping fully immersed into the role that the Lord has invited us to play. Both Tim and then Pete are going to share some opportunities of how we can do this. And the one thing that I love sharing with college students and families and individuals is sometimes, especially when it comes to Muslims, that people disqualify themselves thinking, "Oh, I don't know anything about Islam. I wouldn't be able to argue, you know, about the Son of God." Do not disqualify yourself. If you love and treasure Jesus, you are qualified. You can be a friend. The last thing is they share some of these action points. You know, Western culture often thinks, when we hear, that means we get it. Yep, I learned that. I got it. For us to actually to get it means that we're living it out. So I encourage you, with what you hear, may it become living in you by taking some next steps.
And work with this group called Frontiers. We are a company of the dissatisfied. We are dissatisfied that the heart of God is not getting all the worship he deserves. We know it will be true someday, but right now, he's not getting the worship he deserves. This dissatisfies us, as it should dissatisfy the Church of Jesus. Friends, there's bad news. We see bad news on the internet. We get emails that are scary. We get Facebook posts that just, wow, this makes me afraid. I'm I'm hoping that you take this bad news with a grain of scripture. Not a grain of salt, but a grain of scripture. That in fact, there's also some really good news out there. Good news. As Frontiers works, we only work in the Muslim world. That's all we do. And our desire is to see disciples made and churches planted among the least engaged, least reached, and unengaged. There's a difference, by the way, between unreached and unengaged. And we long to see disciples made there. There is good news, though, really good news, that in the last 30 years, the last generation, more Muslims have come to faith in Jesus than all the previous 1,400 years of Islamic history. This is really good news. Okay? That of the 80-plus movements of Muslims to God that have happened, that have been recorded, I should say, over this 1,400-year Islamic history, these 80 movements, in the last 12 years, 69 of those movements have come about. God is on the move. Things are happening. Large blocks of people are coming to faith in Jesus. And yet, there's still these unengaged. There's still those people that have no access. Even if they had a dream, and I have met people, many people that have had dreams, even if they had a dream of Jesus, there's no one around to ask about it. There's no access to the gospel. But there's good news. In 2013, the largest church growth, percent church growth, 30% church growth in the world happened in Iran. Iran had the largest church growth in the world in 2013. Wow, this is good news. Here's some more good news. I hope you take this as good news, that Saudi Arabia and the United States have an agreement, 100,000 student visas a year into the United States until the year 2020. This is unprecedented. This is historic. That Syrian and Iraqi and Burmese Muslim and Somali refugees are coming here in unprecedented numbers. Where in the world could you go to have this kind of access to Muslims who previously were completely inaccessible? Oh my. Friends, this is good news. And we have the joy, we have the privilege to engage as the Church of Jesus, to engage with these students, with these technical immigrants, with refugees. What a privilege, what a joy. I just have to say, as I see what's happening on university campuses, as I see what's happening in the world today, I know God is in control. This is a great, unprecedented time in history. But International Students Incorporated, ISI, they say that roughly 85% of all international students in their four-year time here in the States will never enter the home of an American. Wow. That's hundreds of thousands of students that will never enter the home of an American. Now you start breaking that out to Muslim students and break the homes out to followers of Jesus. The statistics are crazy. It's astronomical. Numbers of Muslims who will never enter the home of a follower of Jesus. Wow. This should not be, friends. This should not be. My friend's friend is the International Student Director for Virginia Commonwealth University. She is taking papers and key cards and things like that from students at the end of the year. In walks a Saudi student that she's known, has been here for a long time, and in walks the Saudi student with a suitcase. He hands her all the keys and everything. He says, thank you very much. I'm going to leave this suitcase here, but please don't open it until after I leave. She's thinking, okay, Saudi guy, suitcase. Yeah, she's okay, Lord, this is for you. And so he leaves, she opens the suitcase. It's filled with wrapped gifts from Saudi Arabia. These gifts he brought with him 4 years ago to give as hostess gifts to all the people that would be inviting him over to their house. This is heartbreaking, as it should be for us, expecting hospitality and not receiving it. Why, friends, I'm asking you, this is audience interaction time. Why do you think that we don't engage with our Muslim neighbors and international students and co-workers? Fear. We don't feel like we have anything to say to them. This should not be, friends. I came back from Kyrgyzstan after teaching in the Ag University there. I came back from Kyrgyzstan amazed. When I left, it didn't feel this way. But when I came back, oh, we're afraid. We're afraid of the government. We're afraid of the economy. We're afraid of a Muslim invasion. Fear characterizing the Church of Jesus? Unbelievable. This should not be. I hear the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, Mark 4, the same story. The words of Jesus on a stormy night, the disciples are rowing away, trying to get across the lake. Jesus is asleep, and they're terrified. Lord, don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you care about us? And he says, what does he say? Why are you afraid? Don't you have any faith? Why are you afraid? This is the words I hear God saying to us as a church today. Why are we afraid? Don't we have any faith? Now, what would faith have looked like that night? I think it would have looked like, well, Jesus is here. Let's keep rowing. Okay, bail the boat out some more, guys. Let's keep rowing. It's uncomfortable. It feels dangerous. It feels risky. It feels like we're alone. That's what faith looked like, because Jesus would have been there. What does it look like for us today to have faith? What does it look like in the midst of all the fear? We still work. We still do uncomfortable things so that God can get glory, so that in our weakness, He gets lifted up. His name gets lifted up. Friends, I've got a ton of stories about how to engage Muslim people locally. I hang out with Saudi students a lot. I was in a mosque on Friday. I was hanging out with a young Saudi student named Mohammed yesterday. I've got tons of stories of people who, Muslims, who are wide open to the gospel. Wide open. This is not the time to be afraid, my friends. As you look at this commitment card in your bulletin, you'll see some opportunities that you have to start praying, to start being involved in what God can do through you, through the Church of Jesus, for His name's sake, among people. When they go back, you think they're going to meet followers of Jesus back in Riyadh, back in Mecca? No. Very unlikely. They're here. Let's take an opportunity to do that. Let me finish up by saying, they are coming. They're here. This is great news. But friends, it's a tiny, tiny fraction of the overall numbers of people, of Muslims, unengaged, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist. It's a fraction. We got to send. We must be sending. My prayer is that as you engage with Muslim students, as you engage with refugees, that your eyes are opened to the potential of your destiny to be salt and light, to be His tool in the hardest places on the planet. Every day, I pray Luke chapter 10, verse 2, at 10:02 in the morning. My phone alarm goes off at 10:02. That says, Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is ripe and ready, but the workers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest. Pray, the Lord of the harvest. Pray, the Lord of the harvest, to send workers." This is strategic work that we do at 10:02 in the morning. I want you to join me in that, by the way. I want you to set your phone alarms to go off at 10:02 to remind you of Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Okay? I want people praying this. And as you're praying, I know the Lord will raise up workers to go overseas and go across the street to engage with people who would otherwise never hear the gospel. This is an unprecedented time, and there's good news, friends. There's good news. God is able to keep his promises. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, God says through Habakkuk, "The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea." Is that good news? Someone say hallelujah for me. I don't know if Lutherans say hallelujah or not, but this is good news. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We know this will happen because, just like the disciples experienced that day, who is this that controls the wind and the waves? Who is this that is able to keep his promises? It is God, and he is our King and our Savior and our Lord. We have a hope beyond hope. We have a Savior, and the people outside of these church doors, they need it desperately. Let's be the ones. So, God's blessings to you, and my brother is going to come up and polish us off.